Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Ron Harardian, a virtual CISO based in Silicon Valley. Good morning, Ron. How you doing?
Good morning.
Well, I'm glad you could join us today. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure. My background's in the software industry here in Silicon Valley, and I've been involved in a number of different startups. Just to name a few, Netscape and Proofpoint, which is now an almost $8 billion cybersecurity company. And I've also worked for some tech giants, namely Cisco and Oracle.
Well, those are some very big companies here in the Bay Area. And right now, you're basically a virtual CISO. You actually perform this service for multiple companies, right?
Yeah, that's right. So there are a lot of mid-sized companies, growing companies, and particularly in Silicon Valley, startups, where they're not big enough to have a dedicated cybersecurity function. And many of those companies are struggling with regulatory compliance issues.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and as we know in California, there's a lot of regulatory compliance issues. So so about a year ago, it's almost a year to the day now, you know, everything went remote because of COVID. Do you think that increase the demand for CISOs, or do you think it was already on the way up?
Well, yeah, yes, absolutely. Both of those things were true. So cybersecurity, if you look at cybercrime, the recent cybercrime report from Steve Morgan suggests that if cybercrime globally were a nation state, it would be the third largest country in the world after the United States and China. So, you know, the bad guys, so to speak, are very well organized, very well funded. They're more and more professional. So this trend was already going on, and it already was a virtual business. The shift to remote work brought about by COVID-19 only created much more security exposure for companies, and it brought cybersecurity into focus. Also, last year, we had the SolarWinds hack. And right now, companies are struggling with the Microsoft Exchange vulnerabilities. So there are huge cybersecurity gaps, and companies are really in a scramble to try to close some of those gaps.
Yeah, no, I think one of the things you see is companies are much more aware of this now than they were even 5 years ago. I mean, 5 years ago, there weren't a lot of CISOs. That function seemed to fall onto the network administration team or someone like that. And now it's actually a full-time job in larger companies, and in smaller companies, it's an actual role with a lot of power. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, every company needs to have a cybersecurity program, and it consists of various different things, everything from cybersecurity awareness to security operations to essentially dealing with regulatory compliance, the security architecture of the whole technology stack, from the infrastructure up to the last, you know, API or client application component. So there, you know, it is a big job. It is very complex. And that's why, in my view, the United States of America is in a state of cybersecurity emergency right now. In my opinion, there is a de facto state of emergency with respect to cybersecurity.
Interesting. And because of that, I think it's causing more demand for skills like yourself, right? And I think the other thing is people are designing for security up front now in applications. Would you agree with that also?
Yeah, there's a huge demand for cybersecurity skills in the marketplace. And, you know, that it's a pyramid structure. So, you know, most of the skills that are demanded are things like security operations, security architecture, security engineering. Cryptography is an area where, while the technology is well known and well established, there's a fast growing need for people who can, not necessarily cryptographers, but people who can actually code around existing cryptographic algorithms and using libraries and so forth, because encryption is a huge part of security moving forward, particularly for things like connected vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that's a whole different discussion there. And the other thing I've noticed is I think almost all sites that have any kind of security are now going to two-factor authentication. That seems to be a general trend in, you know, throughout the industry. Would you also agree with that?
Yeah, I would put that in the category of blocking and tackling. I mean, most companies fail in cybersecurity because they're not doing the basic things right. Mm. And the main reason is lack of visibility. And scarce resources. Many companies just don't have the resources to actually do an internal security audit or create an internal security standard, or to move to a model where there's less chance of human error, configuration errors, for example, are responsible for most data breaches, or just failure to patch software. Those are the top two causes of data breaches right there. And I would put those in the blocking and tackling category. You don't need to have a sophisticated approach to cybersecurity to solve those problems. You need to do the basic things right every time. It's needless to say, the bad guys only have to be right once, mm-hmm. and the defenders have to be right every single time.
Yes, and you find with the companies you deal with, you're doing more of the basics, or are you helping them with more advanced type of security issues?
Oh, it's across the whole spectrum. So it's coming into an environment where the existing engineering team or CTO has done a reasonable, one might say respectable job of security, but where in fact there are many other facets of security. The shift to remote work, which you brought up, for example, means that on many company networks, especially in mid-sized companies or even in startups, they actually have people using home computers to access VPNs into a corporate network. And that's a situation where malware can spread easily, where a compromised desktop that's completely outside corporate control may have sensitive data on it, or may actually just serve as a gateway into the corporate network. So it ranges from that sort of thing, which is sort of at the low end, all the way to, well, we need to do PCI DSS, or we're expanding to Europe, we need to do GDPR. What does that mean in terms of the technical implementation? Like if you wanted to do like a SOC 2, a service organization controls security certification, what should we do technically to get ready for the audit, or are we ready for the audit? Those are questions that companies are asking right now.
Very cool. So, and we brought up about the pandemic and remote work. As you can see, we are starting, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and we're starting to come out of this shelter in place. Do you, in your opinion, do you think remote work is here to stay? Do you think everything will go back to normal? Do you think it'll be somewhere in the middle?
Well, it's here to stay. Obviously a lot of work will, especially companies that are in effect suspended right now or operating at a reduced level of capacity, those will come back in a similar manner to the way they operated before. But many other businesses, there already was a trend towards remote work. Mm-hmm. And that's been, let us just say, greatly accelerated by COVID-19. And what I've seen is that companies have discovered that they actually can use a remote workforce, and that they can, because that's true, whole departmental functions actually can be done from anywhere, which means that offshoring and outsourcing have greatly accelerated as well.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And I think beforehand there was a certain amount of the corporate population that was just reluctant to do that. They were reluctant to lose that control. And when it was forced on them, they realized, hey, this actually is a good solution. Now we can get people from anywhere in the world at a cheaper rate. Would you agree?
Exactly. It's working and it costs less. And that's a force of nature. That's having a big influence on the whole technology marketplace.
Yes, I would agree. Well, Ron, I want to thank you for your time today. I know you're a very busy man lately. Good luck. Have a great 2021.
Thanks for having me on.